Good morning and welcome to the Saxo Bank Market Call. It is Tuesday, September 10th, 2019. I'm your host, John Hardy, head of FX Strategy. With me in the studio, Peter Garnry on quant and equities and Ole Hansen on commodities. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, John.
Hey.
Let's have a look at what's going on here. We have a bit of a consolidation day yesterday, I would say, after the quite a strong streak of risk on. And we're seeing the classic correlation of one across some of these key assets that have been on the move. Everything from the long bonds where the yields tick back higher to dollar yen. And of course, with higher yields, you see the yen weaker. And we're seeing precious metals consolidating that 1500 level, at least for a while, giving way on gold and silver below 18. So finally, after quite a string of successful days, and then the equity market correcting a bit. But it's nothing serious yet, Peter.
No, it's not. We're looking at pretty flattish markets here in European Open. In Asia, it was mixed across the different exchanges with maybe, I would say, Nikkei is still surprisingly the most strong equity futures out there. I've mentioned it now for a couple of sessions, and I still think Nikkei has the most interesting setup and seems to have the most strength. And that's actually slide three. You can see here. Don't mind the headline. That's actually linked to the slide two. But as you can see here, the Nikkei we've come back quite a while, and I think I would argue that the Nikkei is sending positive signals about export markets and potential rebound in the economic data. And as I show on slide two here, the CDS G10 Economic Surprise Index is now close to its highest level since late 2017. So we have come a long way from those very, very lows. There's a small positive reading there in the mid-2018. But for 19, we're looking at the best surprise index. And I think that could be the beginning of maybe, extending the short-term rally, that the macro numbers are not disappointing or accelerating to the downside, but actually beginning to surprise broadly across the 10 largest countries.
Yeah, and I think one of the interesting thing here is, at least for yen, you mentioned the Nikkei, and I think, of course, the part of that is going to be the weak Japanese yen. We've seen quite a run lower in the Japanese yen here. I put up on slide one just a useful barometer, some of these yen crosses for risk on, risk off. We've seen 5-6 days of very strong rebound there, whether it's Kiwi yen, whether it's Aussie yen, CAD yen, all these yen crosses. And I would argue that between here and maybe a percent or so higher, and I think in the dollar crosses we're even closer to the key sort of pivot areas. This move needs to stop now if we're going to avoid a trend reversal. So I'm thinking in the FX space at least we're at pretty important resistance levels. But Ole, on precious metals, I mean, we ran so fast, it's a bit hard for people to figure out, I guess, where to hop back in here.
Absolutely, and I think we're just once again seeing what gold does really well. It's very good at frustrating traders. We had this very big run up, and now it's starting to come off quite a bit. We're trading below 1500 today. On slide six in the chart deck, basically just putting out some of the highlighting some of the key levels. 1450 is really the key area of support to the downside. As long as we stay above 1450, this is still only just a weak correction in a strong uptrend. And but again, we've had all these to the moon comments in recent weeks, and it always does scare me a little bit, because nothing is ever going to go to the moon unless the world breaks apart. So there is quite a few longs who's got into the market at these high levels, and they need to probably need to adjust a little bit. We maintain overall a bullish outlook. The trade war is not over yet. It's just on hold. It's postponed until Q4, and that's probably the main reason why all these markets are reacting as they do right now. Especially also just staying on the commodities. Crude oil has also broken higher. If you look at Brent crude, we've been stuck around the 60 level now for a couple of months. And the market likes round numbers, so 65 potentially is the target there now.
Yeah, and I think, the bullish, sort of risk bullish outlook here is supported by the idea that we're going to not see any sort of fresh developments on that U.S.-China trade tension front until October, because we don't even know when we're going to sit down, but it's going to be after the National Day in China around the 1st of October. And we're seeing the daily fixes on the CNY coming in at flat or even very slightly stronger. Overnight, it was one basis point stronger, the renminbi versus the dollar where they put the fix. So I don't know. Personally, I know I don't have full agreement here in the studio, but I suspect we might get a bit more two-way action here. But we'll see. One interesting story developing yesterday, Peter, doesn't seem to have a big shockwaves across the market. The downgrade by Moody's of Ford debt. This is $84 billion of corporate debt downgraded to that level where it's now at junk status, at least according to Moody's. The other two major agencies have them at the lowest investment grade rating, but on negative watch. It seems to be the market's taking this in stride as a one-off.
Yeah, it seems like it hasn't had any yet negative spillover effects in the rest of the credit market or in general the car industry. On the equity side there, we're still in depressed levels. I mean, if you look across all continents, Europe, North America, Asia, I mean, auto sales, car sales are still very much depressing and still in a decline in combination with very high CapEx levels. That could be the potential kicker for some more systemic move in credit for all the car makers, is that the need for CapEx here is massive because you have to move into electrical vehicles. And that's the problem, right? So it's feeding through the bottom line, and you have weakening demand. And you see that for BMW, Volkswagen, Daimler, also the American producers. They're really struggling, and I don't think that theme is going away soon.
And just to point out how complacent the market really still is here, we're talking about a CDS price of 183 yesterday on Ford. That's how, you know, what it costs to insure Ford debt. That's up 13 points, but I mean, even as recently as August, that was trading as high as 200, and back in May at 240. So we're not talking about credit spreads that are exactly ripping wider here.
I just want to, I think we talked about before, how much of this slowdown in car sales has also to do with people just holding back because they want to jump onto the electrical vehicle bandwagon, but they haven't seen the price or the product yet that they want to, so they're hanging on to the old banger for a little bit longer.
Yeah, there could be an element there as well. Yeah, so I think if we look at across markets here, again, there's not a whole lot on the risk appetite front to send any sort of advanced signals here, but it feels to me, at least judging from some key FX crosses, that we could be nearing important resistance levels where it's if we continue to run higher, then we're talking about some pretty interesting reversals in the dollar and the yen, etc. Dollar yen above 107 is really starting to stress the yen bullish scenario, and if it stays above there, I think you have concerns that that could go higher. But we're going to need to see bond yields continuing higher for that to develop upside as well.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe we are in some stage of a pause here leading up to that ECB meeting on Thursday. And talking about the ECB meeting, there was some very interesting news out yesterday. It was Süddeutsche Zeitung that had news that inside the ECB there are now preparation for how to buy stocks in the case that there's an economic fallout. So preparations inside the ECB is definitely moving in that direction. QE, not a big surprise. I mean, as Sting Jacobson, our chief investment officer, likes to tell us, Japan leads the world, and Japan has already gone full blown down that path of buying equities. So it wouldn't be that big a surprise if the ECB does that as well.
Yeah, I would be surprised at least this early in the game. Maybe as emergency measures, if markets are crashing, it starts to make a bit more sense to prevent with the argument that we're trying to prevent a complete collapse in confidence out there. But let's get to the calendar today, and I want to highlight something. I think it's very important because we have a U.S. 3-year Treasury auction at 5 o'clock GMT this afternoon, and the last week only saw these very very short term auctions, but the prior week, the last of the auctions, the 7-year, saw extremely weak demand there, and there's this theme that the Treasury is not able to really find sufficient buyers. That the market can't absorb these mounting Trump deficits. So the 3-year may be a little bit too early on that one, but we have the 10-year and the 30-year on the ensuing couple of days here. So 10-year tomorrow, 30-year on Thursday. Be aware of those. Our calendar slide is slide 7. Also a bit of interest on Sweden and Norway today with the CPI out. Those pairs, interesting levels as they try to strengthen a bit against a weak euro. Some UK data as well. There's not much going on there in terms of Brexit, except for Johnson's latest effort at a snap election being defeated. And what kind of motivation does Mr. Johnson have to negotiate a deal when he's essentially a hostage of Parliament at this point? So I think that's still very fluid. I'm still a bit surprised at how aggressively complacent the market is on sterling. Canadian housing starts data up later as well. And then we have quite a flurry of these major oil and outlooks and reports over the next couple of days.
Yeah, we got the three major forecasters, EIA in the US, IEA in Paris, and OPEC. They're all coming up with their monthly oil market reports. And what the market obviously will be keeping an eye on, as usual, is if there's any further downgrades to demand, but also how much they expect OPEC needs to produce. That's important because that's relative to where they are right now. Do they need to cut even further in order to maintain stable markets? So that would be interesting. But I think the market is primarily focusing on Thursday, where we got the OPEC JMMC meeting in Abu Dhabi. It's a meeting where Russia and OPEC sits down and discuss the current production cuts. And with the new the appointment of Prince Abdulaziz as the new energy minister, there's been a few raised hopes in the market that or belief that he may be even more aggressive in trying to stabilize or move the price higher. So that could potentially be key for this week in the oil market.
And it seems like you're seeing a drumbeat of headlines talking about that Saudi Aramco IPO at some point as well.
That's getting close as well. So they obviously want to have a price as high as possible.
All right. I think that'll be a wrap for today. Stay tuned tomorrow for the next edition of the Saxo Bank Market Call. And thanks for joining.